Good to follow on from what Pastor Christine's been sharing. It's called The Power of the Tenth. So thank you, worship team. Yeah, I feel like I've had a really good intro already into this. There you go. So God just worked that together. Hallelujah. Pastor Christine just said she didn't know that was what I was speaking on. Hallelujah. So we have set aside the next few weeks. We did this a while ago, talking about some of the things that God would have us to teach and to train and equip us in the practical skills of following God, dealing with issues in life. And one of the things that we said was we should give some attention to tithing, because it's something we mention over and over and over again, and we sort of teach a little bit to it, but we don't sort of teach on it as much. And so we should give some attention to it and give some focus, because it is something that many people might not even be aware. And even when I say the word tithing, there will be people from all sorts of backgrounds and understanding coming to that. There'll be some people that say, I don't even know what it means. I know we talk about it in church. I know it means when we're giving, but I've got no idea actually why you use that word tithing or what it relates to. I just know it's something you talk about. Or they might say, oh, I haven't even noticed you talk about what is this thing called tithing? Then you've got others that maybe have grown up in church and been a part, and tithing has been a part of your life forever. I became a part of God's church when I was 8 years of age, born again, had a very real experience with God, and I learnt right from the start about tithing. So if I got any pocket money, I would tithe. If I was doing a newspaper run, back then it was boys on bikes would do the newspapers in the morning and the afternoon, and I was one of those boys, and I would ride and I would get my pay. I think it was $1.75 or something like that. That was the pay. That wasn't the tip. That was the pay. And big money. But, you know, that meant 18 cents went into my tithe for God. It was just what I did. And as I grew, I'd even do things like double tithe, and I'd be earning $5 and I'd be giving $1. And this is just part of my life right from the start. But my understanding of tithing has grown over the time. So I've been doing it for a long time, but I haven't always understood why or what the purpose was. I did it just to honor God. I did it because I love God. I did it because that was something that I knew came from the Bible, but I wouldn't have known exactly how or where or why. As a family, we have continued this. Christine and I have always been in agreement. Seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness has been our way of living, and it's just what everything does. And if the word of God teaches it, then we will do it. If the word of God doesn't teach it, then it's up, you know, then we don't. Or we don't have to. Do you know what I mean? You know, you can follow football. You can follow Collingwood, because that is Bible. You know, no. I just lost the first row there. Things like those things, there are things that are just not Bible, and you get to choose whether you do them or not. But when it comes, we work out if we say that is Bible, that's New Covenant, that's New Testament, that's us, then we're in. All right, and so we've done that, and we've been faithful in terms of tithing. It's never been a question, shall we, what will we, won't we? It's been, well, what do we do? We've always tithed ahead. We've tithed towards what God is going to do, not what he has done. We often are tithing to what God's going to do, not necessarily what he's doing at the moment, because we see by faith and God challenges our heart and he calls us to do that. So we're excited to do those things. We've experienced the blessings and the benefits of tithing. You know, we've got children that have been born in our family, in our own family. Jordan was a difficult pregnancy that, you know, people are going to say difficult child. No, it's a difficult pregnancy. And there was real danger that we weren't going to be able to carry him, or Christine was not going to carry him to a full term. You know, I was in faith, but it was a faith battle. And we went to the scriptures and we stood on Malachi, where it says, you will not drop your fruit before its time. And as a tither, we said, well, that's our promise and that's our provision. When our grandchild just recently was in great danger, was born not breathing, it was Malachi that enabled us to hold fast and see them come through and prophesy over them. They would come out with strong, bold lungs, not just survive, but come through thriving. Because why? Because we were able to go to those scriptures. So tithing has been a part of what we've done from both doing and from the promises and the provisions of God and the blessings of God. But even when I was coming to study this, I'm like, I know it's there and I know that, you know, what it's about, but I just really felt there was more to it. I've had it probably in my heart for over 5 years, a scratch in my spirit. I don't know if you do this. I remember hearing Brother Copeland talk about it, and I thought, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's called a scratch in the spirit. There's something itching there, and it's like, I just know there's more. I know there's more. I know there's more, and I want to dive in, and this has given me the opportunity to do some of that diving. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. But it's also opened up a can of worms about what I don't know and why, and ask questions. And I started by going to Malachi chapter 3 and then looking, and then gets broader and wider, but it also opened up some questions. You know, there's the obvious question, what does tithing mean? When we say tithing, it's to do with giving, it's to do with bringing tithes and offerings. So it's a type of offering, if it's a particular type. Malachi says, you've been robbing because you haven't in your tithes and your offerings. So there's sort of it goes hand in hand with offerings, but it's a form of offering that's very particular and very specific. So why tithe? So I looked up the Hebrew word, and do you know what the Hebrew word means? You might know this, this might not be very revelation, or it might be brand new. It just means tenth. It means tenth. When I was talking to Jordan about this during the week, it means tenth, and he goes, why does it not surprise me that religious people get hold of things and put words on something that the world can't understand? It's the word tenth, but we give it a special word. So now when we use it, no one understands what it really means, because it's like tithe, the tithe. It is literally just the word tenth. And you can translate it tenth. It's just, it's a word for the tenth that we understand is not just any tenth. It's the tenth that has been set apart for God to give into his house. So we gave that tenth a special name, but it was actually just called the tenth. And so there are some times in the Bible where it will be translated as tithe and other times tenth, and sometimes it interchanges and Bibles do one or the other, and it doesn't really matter because it actually is the same. So when Jacob made a decision, he said, I'm going to give, in fact, we can call this scripture up, Genesis 28. I actually don't know what they will... I know what they'll put the scripture up, but I don't know what word they'll use because the word is interchangeable. So Genesis 28, verse 19. I don't know, I've given them, I actually gave them a list of about 30 scriptures for this morning. Then I said, that's a lot of scriptures to try and prepare. So I said, here's the ones we're more likely to use, and that narrowed it down to about half. Yeah, you're laughing, but it's not funny. It's true. But Genesis 28, so if they... All right, then you can pop that one up. That verse 20 will do. Yeah. Then Jacob called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Luz means it's to do with nuts. It was because there was almond trees there. All right. Literally, he took the place that was known as for its being nutty and said, that's the house of God. I can understand why you do that. Just meditate on it. We're really nuts, but God calls us his house. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on the journey that I take, I will, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear. This is when Jacob's having to flee from Esau because he got the inheritance and Esau was mad. Verse 21, he says, and I return to my father's house in safety. Then Yahweh, then the Lord will be my God. Next verse. This stone which I've set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, God, of all that you give me, I will surely give, and I like it, a tenth to you. I don't know whether you can look in your Bible and you find the word tithe there, because sometimes I put tithe, some more times I put word tenth. It's the same. I'm going to tithe to you, but literally what he's saying, I'm going to tenth to you, give a tenth. It's the act of giving a tenth, the verb, but it's also the noun, the tenth. So whenever you see the word tithe, you can actually just begin just to call it the tenth. Because sometimes it's good to demystify words and just make them. there is no mystifying of this word in the Bible. It's just an ordinary word, but we have added a Bible language word to it. So it's just tenth. But we understand it's not just a tenth, it's the tenth. It's a tenth that God has done. So we start off by saying, okay, what is this tenth? Why does God say a tenth? And then in the Old Testament, there's laws and rules given to how we are to bring the tenth. There's a whole chapter in Deuteronomy 26 about the process of bringing that tenth, bringing that tithe. There's instructions. In fact, let's look at one. Leviticus, I think it's the last few verses in Leviticus. Leviticus 27. Yeah, Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Right near the end of the book of Leviticus, verse 30. Give them a second to bring that up, because these are sort of the instructions we understand. Thus all the tithe, all the tenth of the land, of the seed of the land, of all the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. And so it talks about that. This belongs to the Lord. This is God's tithe. There's other instructions. I won't go through all the scriptures, but it talks about bringing them in for the purpose of the Levites, who were the priests under God. This was their tithe, was to brought in so that there would be food in the house, and that the Levites, who had no land, every other tribe got an allotment of land that they could farm and they could produce food on and they could grow and have cattle, but not the Levites. The Levites were the Lord's inheritance, and he gave them the temples, but of course they couldn't produce any food. But the tithe was designed to come into the house so that there would be food and provision for them. So that was it was the practical thing, as well as just the instruction of God. But he actually says, the Lord says, it's mine. It's my tithe, but there's a practical purpose for it. And then I began to say, well, okay, I understand it's a tenth, but then I asked a question which I found I did not find an answer for in any of my research, like external research. Why a tenth? I don't know whether anyone, it doesn't appear many people ask this question, because when I've searched for it in every commentary and every place I can find, when I say research, I mean, you know, Google. And but I also have, you know, I've got a number of commentaries I've got access to. No one really dealt with why a tenth. Why not a twelfth? Why not an eighth? Why not a 50th? Why not 100%? Why not 1%? It was, why 10th? Because, yes, I understand that base 10, the way we count things, is very much worked around 10. You know, that's probably because, do you know why we use, people don't even probably understand the mathematical term, base 10. Base 10 just means what number you get to before you go to the number 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, so that is normal counting. Not everywhere and not every situation. You can actually do that with less numbers or more numbers. You can have, I think, the Mayan Indians was 20. So you'd count to, not, you know, you'd have numbers all the way up to, what, the 19th, and then you'd go 10. Others use different numbers. If you're into computers, it's twos. 1, 10, 11, 100. That's really weird, isn't it?
Coding.
Yeah, the coders understood that. It's like there's two. You only got two numbers. You just go, every time you got one, and then the next one's a 10. 11, 100. 101, 110. Yeah, you get it. Or you don't get it. Or you ignore it. Don't worry about it. Why? You know, numbers. So when you've been, the Greeks loved 10. 10 was a favorite number amongst the Greeks, Pythagoras and all those people. How many love Pythagoras? How many know Pythagoras? How many have heard of that? How many have ordered at an Italian restaurant? I actually love Pythagoras. I spent my Christmas holidays documenting a proof of Pythagoras using geometric means, which I had never heard of before. Yeah, Chris is like, why would you? I said, because I hadn't. Then I've, you know, there's about 70 proofs for Pythagoras. And I found out eventually that mine, the one I found that I'd never heard of before, was number 5. But I worked, I did a proof one. That's what I enjoy, all right? So just, that gives you a little bit of a understanding. Me and Christine are pretty much the same in that, except for all the bits about numbers and maths.
That's right.
It's like, why is a chicken like a grape? Well, they're both purple except for the chicken. All right? That's that, yeah, people don't even get that joke. We do the same dad jokes. We're both into maths the same, except I'm the one that does the maths. So, you know, numbers, like, did you know there are, the word Old Testament has 3 letters for old, and Testament has 9, 3 and 9. New Testament has 3 and 9 letters, New Testament. 3 and 9 Old Testament. Do you know how many books are in the Old Testament? 39. Do you know how many books are in the New Testament? 27, 3 times 9. That's got nothing to do with anything, but it's just interesting, isn't it? There's no Bible proof there or anything. But how about that? Old Testament 39, New Testament 39, it's all numbers. But the Greeks loved Pythagoras because 10 was a special number. It was like, a great number, because firstly, it's 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 is 10. And they found that very significant. They said 1 dimension, 2 dimensions a line, 3 dimensions a triangle, 4 is a space, 10 is all the dimensions, as how they saw it. So it's just lots of, you know. But I wanted to understand why I was looking for that is, did the Hebrew people think there was anything special about a 10? Because when tithe is introduced, it's just said 10th. There's no explanation why God would pick 10th. In fact, there's the very first instruction of time we hear about the 10th, and we read the second time, was when Jacob said, I'm going to give a 10th to the Lord. He just said he's going to give a 10th. Why did he choose that? There was no instruction. God didn't come to him and say, give me a 10th. He said, I'm going to give God a 10th. And the very first instance, let's go to Genesis chapter 14. It's not God instructing someone to give. It's not, because then you might think, well, then he might have at least explained, why did you pick 10th? Yeah, I know it's easy to divide. Some people think he chose 10th because it's really easy to work out what your tithe is. $127. It's a 10th. $12.70. Thank you, God.
I can do that math.
As I say, for everybody, no excuses. You know, I've got $127. That I think, what's the 12th? Oh, come on. That's unfair, God. You know, what's the 15th? What's the 9th? No, 10th. Thank you. I can do that. I can get it. So, you know, but some people think that's what it was. It was just simplicity. Well, maybe it was. Why? Genesis chapter 14. If we go to verse 18, Genesis 14, 18. We have the very first instance of where this word 10th is mentioned. And it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. Verse 19, and he blessed him, that's Abraham. Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. Some your Bible might actually say that that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. That's the first mention in the Bible. There's no instruction from God to do it. Abraham just did it. It was like instinct. He knew to do it. There was some reason he knew to do that. Somehow God and him had an understanding this was the right thing to do, and he gave him a tenth. Why a tenth? Why did he not just give him an offering? It could have said he gave him an offering. Why a specific amount? Why not a 20th? So, like I said, people have just understood it to be a tenth, but why a tenth? So, you're going to get the benefit of my curiosity, because I'm like, God, there must be a reason. And then I looked at, there's no instruction. There is no, this is why it's a tenth. But then the next step you want to do is, because, see, Abraham and Jacob just did it. So to them, it must have been natural. So there must be something about their culture where 10th just seemed right. All right, for them it was just the right thing to do a 10th. So what was it about them that made the 10th that normal number? So I actually looked up every reference to the number 10 in the Bible. Because 10, and sometimes 10 is used in all sorts of places. It can mean things like 10 lepers. Where's the other 10? That was actually 10 lepers. But there's many times I began to realize it was significant, but not always there was an explanation, but there was over and over a pattern. It just would come up. There are so many things, so many key things in the Bible come to do with 10. Can anyone name something in the Old Covenant which was very significant that had to do with the number 10? Sorry? 10 Commandments. They are actually referred to as the 10 words. If I give you references now, you don't have to put them all up behind me on the screen. You don't have to even turn to them. But if I mention them here, then they're a reference, so you can go back and re-watch this at other times. So in Deuteronomy 4:13, it calls them the 10 words or the 10 commandments. He named them as the 10. The 10 commandments. So the 10 commandments are very significant. They had just come out of Egypt, where something very significant happened that was in the number 10. 10 plagues. It was 10 plagues that enabled them to get their deliverance, where they came out and God gave them 10 words. But actually, the number 10 goes right back, and I'm led to understand this, that this is very significant to the rabbis and to those who study the Old Testament scriptures, that they saw this. In fact, I've understood this for a little while, that the 10 plagues, the 10 words, was all expected because they were always tying it back to something which right from the start. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it says, God said, and it was, guess how many times? 10 times. All right, you can go there and do like I have and color them all in. 10 times it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. The creation of the world was the result of 10 words. Wow. 6 days, but 10 words. 10 things that were spoken made this universe as we know it. Wow. It's interesting, 10. So then, so according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, which you won't be able to turn to in your Bible, let me just see if I can pull this up here. So this is what I was trying to say. What did the ancient people think about 10? And so this is, it says, the number 10 has frequently been associated with notions of completeness and wholeness across different cultures. In various belief systems, 10 is seen as a representation of a full cycle, a complete set, a perfect unit. So the 10 words represented the perfect law. The 10 words spoken to this universe were the 10 words that made the perfect universe. Wow, so the 10 plagues were the perfect judgment on the Egyptians. The fullness of it. 10 represented not just the number, but represented something. That's why a number of times they will refer to something as being 10, but not necessarily mean the exact number 10. So sometimes I'll say 10 of something, in the same way that we probably use the word a dozen. I'll give you a dozen reasons why. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to give you 12. It just means that, you know, I've got quite a number. So the number 10 was used many times as to represent the whole lot. And we didn't have to. So, for instance, I'll try and give you references as I'm going so you can look these up later if you desire. But when Jacob, in chapter 31, 7 and 41 that's chapter 31, verses 7 and 41 in the book of Genesis, Jacob complained that he'd been cheated. He said, you changed my wage 10 times. 10 times you changed. Doesn't mean 9, 10, he counted them. Just means you were forever changing them. A whole lot of times you change them. But rather than say a whole lot, you would say 10. Wow. So 10 times you changed. Not necessarily meaning the number 10, just meaning my whole dealing with you was crooked. Every time you dealt with something, this would change. I could never get a handle on you. Let's see another one. Um, Okay, Ruth chapter 4, verse 2. It means a complete set. Boaz, when he was wanting to set things in place to get Ruth and take off his sandal and they did all those strange things, he gathered 10 elders from the city to do this in front of. 10 meant that the complete government of that city was present. So that possibly was actually the number 10, but it's just representative of, they saw that is, we had a complete set of rulership here. 10 elders, they're all here. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8, when, I'm trying to think of a name, who couldn't have a child for Samuel? Hannah. Hannah couldn't have a child, and she was upset and weeping, and her husband said, "But you've got me." And she went, he thought it was a good argument. 1 Samuel 1:8, he said, Elkanah, her husband, said, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" He's not talking about 10 sons. He's saying, you can have as many sons, but I'm always going to be better. It just meant the completeness. I fulfill that whole side. Yeah. 10 sons. Let's get another one. In the 2 Chronicles chapter 4, you can find that as God instructed for the tabernacle to be built. Now, I'm not saying there's not other numbers that are special. You know, you get 12. There were 12 disciples. There's other numbers that are significant. There was 6 days of creation and God rested on the seventh. There's all sorts of things. But I'm just talking about where 10 were seen to be this completeness, this wholeness. So in 2 Chronicles 4, there was 10 basins with 10 lampstands on 10 tables put into the tabernacle, all 10s. In Nehemiah chapter 11, when they said, you know, we've built the walls and we're making a great city, but no one's living there, they came up with a rule. They said, we will by lot choose one out of every 10 families and they will move into Jerusalem. And they said, that's a good idea. 10 representing the lot, 1/10 is a good portion to do that. So they chose the 1/10 to do that. In Job chapter 19, verse 3, Job complained how his friends were just basically hanging on him. They were giving him so much time. They were insulting him. They were so rough on him. Poor, innocent little Job. But he said, let me just get into my Bible. This is Job 19, verse 3. He said, these 10 times you have insulted me. It's probably not talking about actual 10. He just said, I feel totally insulted by you. You've just given me so many insults. So the number 10 is there, not expected to be taken as a literal 10. It's just a phrase that means you've fully insulted me. In Ecclesiastes 7:19, it says, wisdom is better than 10 rulers. Again, referring to the fact that this wisdom is better, not that 11 rulers might not, or 12, you know what I mean? It's 10 means all the rulers. Complete rulership is represented by that concept. In Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel wanted to say, we don't want to eat this stuff that's been given to us, he said, test me for 10 days. That's a complete test. And when they went through the test, and after 10 days, what did the king say? He said, you are 10 times wiser than all my other wise men. This meant you're completely wise compared with them because you've had a complete test over the 10 days. You can see that's how they're sort of using that concept. And then in Daniel, he talks about, you know, in prophecy, you see like the beast and things, it has 10 horns. It's the number 10. 10 kings. Talks about the governments, the rulership of the earth. 10. That's why it would be using those numbers. In Zechariah 8:23, there's a prophecy that talks about 10 men from the Gentile nations will grab one Jew and says, how are you so blessed? Why 10? Because this represents all the Gentiles. It's a completeness number. 10. Even when Jesus gave the prophecy, he said, who's going to be ready? He said there are 10 virgins. He was talking about that represented everybody, didn't it? So anyway, these are So my understanding, what I've come to see, is that number 10 represents the whole, complete. The whole of creation, the whole of judgment, the whole of God's word. When they wanted to use a number that referred to something being in its completeness, in its perfection, they used the number 10. So when God says, give me a tenth, he says that's the perfect portion of your life that represents you. Give me the perfect portion of your life. Give me that part of your whole which is just right. One, we're using the same concept. So when you give one tenth, you are giving the perfect representation of the whole of your life. The representation of who you are. This is what I am. And it's interesting that when God asks us to give us a tenth, he does not call it a tenth or whatever tenth you want. In the book of Proverbs, it doesn't actually refer to the tenth. It says, it calls it the first fruits, the first portion, the first part. The tenth was always to be their first tenth. Now, if I walk into a shop and I say, oh, I've just been given some money from the, you know, I don't carry a lot of cash. How many here don't carry cash much? But you know, if you did, I just went to the auto teller and I got $200, which is 10 $20 notes they gave me. Check it out. 20. Put it in my wallet. And I walk into a shop and they say, this will be $20. I say, beautiful. And I reach into my wallet and I just pull out one of the 20s and I give it to the person. They don't go, what are you doing? That's your fifth 20. I want the first 20. I'd be like, mate, they're all the same. Yeah. A 20 is a 20. Doesn't matter whether it's the first, second, third, ninth, tenth. Or you gave me your last 20. Does it really matter? 20 is 20. Except when it comes to the tithe.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not just any tenth. It's not because it represents the whole. It's the first one because it represents everything else. It represents your heart, it represents your commitment, it represents everything else. So that's why the tithe is not just an amount, it's an attitude.
Yeah, good.
It's not just a physical number, it's representative, and therefore it's not just representative physically, it's also representative internally.
Yeah, come on.
And that's why it says, let's actually look at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll just read verse 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. See the connection between the tithe, the tenth, the first, and the concept of honor. It becomes a matter of that represents the honor I have for you. So that's why it's a tenth, because it represents the whole of you. Ten is all of you. One tenth is the perfect representation of you to that, to give to God. But it's the first one you give because it represents you've got my first place. Before I do anything else, I think of you. Before I look at the nine tenths, I think of you and I give it to you. And then you take the whole and put your blessing on it. Because if you go to verse 10, it says, so your barns will be filled with plenty. So the whole 10 will be full. And your vats will overflow with new wine. I will do in the 10 because you've given me your first one.
Yeah,
all right? So that is why I believe it's called a tenth. God never specifies it. I can't say, oh, here's the verse that proves it.
Yeah.
But that's why I gave you a lot of verses to try and give you an understanding. That's how they saw it.
Yeah.
That's how it was representative to them. The number 10 just was representative. In fact, I think I missed a scripture in there that might be helpful, even when God was talking. I think it's the book of Exodus. When God was speaking to Moses, And he was saying he's so fed up with the children of Israel. Numbers 14, 22. There we go. This is God speaking to Moses about how fed up he was with the Israelites. They'd pushed him to the limit. He'd dealt with them, resisted, dealt, but finally they'd pushed him to the edge. Their wickedness, their temptation was to the limit. So how does God express that? Numbers 14, 22. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times. Does he mean they actually did 10 things wrong? No, he says, they've brought me to the limit. Their testing of me has come to the fullness. So he uses the phrase 10 times to mean totally. I am totally upset with them. Does he actually literally mean you can go back and find 10? I'm not sure. I haven't even bothered to look, because I don't think that's not how they understood that word 10 to be used. It was not meant to be, oh, let's find the 10. It was literally meant to be, God's, I'm fed up to the 10, which means no more room for temptation. You've done it. And then Moses had to, very cleverly, I won't even go into that, how God and Moses worked out a very clever way to preserve the children of Israel. Hallelujah. He had to get Moses to make intercession. But 10 again. So I'm proposing to you, because I can't point to the scripture that says this is how it's done. I'm proposing that the reason it's a tenth is because 10 stood for your whole life, and tithe is one out of the 10, a tenth, which meant the portion that represented everything, and God asked for the first part because he wanted to represent you. His purpose is, if he can get hold of the first part of your life, is he has access to bless everything. All right, this is his entry into this. All right, God uses this. And he looks for these things. These things are important to him. You know, there's an entry point when he asked Abraham to offer his son, Isaac. He was using that as the entry point to get the blessing in. Yeah. If he could offer his son, he could then give him his son. And like I said, with Moses in Numbers 14, it might not be in 14, but it's when he spoke to Moses and he said, enough, I'm going to come and wipe them out. I'm going to start again with you. I reckon there'll be a few leaders that say, yeah, good move, God. Let's... Thank you. I'm with you, God, you know. But if you can look at the terminology, he said to Moses, this people, your people, this people that they've had, your people, this people. And I felt there was part of Moses like, whoa, when did they suddenly become my people? You know, God who brought them out, God who started with Abraham, suddenly they're my people. Why did God call them his people? He's like, oh, that's unfair. But then Moses was able to intercede because God had given him the authority that they were his people. So he could intercede for them and ask God's. And God says, okay, I won't destroy them. That was God's plan all along. He just needed someone to intercede, and he had to appoint Moses through his words and giving him that responsibility so he could access to them. God looks for these access points.
Yeah, that's good.
The reason we're blessed is ultimately, it's because of Jesus. That's the, he brought in the law, which is the first law, we call it the first law, because he had to hold us, but he knew that that would never stick. We would always mess up. The priests wouldn't do a good job. He needed to bring a whole new system in so that he could get the blessing into us and through Jesus. But he needed those access points. He just couldn't say, listen, this is not working, I'll just bless you. He had to do it right. He had to do it properly. He had to do it through Jesus. You know, so he brought in the old covenant to as a holding pattern until he could get it right. He put in place Levitical priesthood because he said, the whole concept of ministering to me is right, but the trouble is you're not the right people to do it. He said, you know how many Levitical priests there were? It's actually given a number in Hebrews, right? You might be like, well, I don't remember. Thousands. He just said, there's thousands of them. You know why? They kept dying. He had to keep appointing a Levite priest, another priest, more priests. And he said, you know why they died? Because they were both offering sacrifices for the person and for themselves. They were not perfect. They were doing dual offerings. They offer you a sacrifice on your behalf, then they'd have to offer a sacrifice on their behalf. And then they would die. And God would have to have multiple. He said, what a dud system. He said, but I had to put that in place so I could get one priest who was an eternal priest who was never going to die because he did not have any of his own sin, and he would offer up the sacrifice, and then he would become the high priest eternally that does not die over and over again. He says, but the concept of priesthood was right. He just said, I just needed the right priest. And we will talk how that works next week, because that's really becomes very important. Because who was the ones in charge of the whole tithe? It was all bring them to the priests. The priests would receive it. They would honor it. It was in Malachi that they got into. They were messing up because they were messing the whole sacrifice system up, and God was speaking to them. He said, if only I could have a priesthood that would do this right. That's for next week. All right? God wants to get the blessing to you. He is looking for how. He's looking for opportunity. He wants to manifest. Now, I know the blessing has come through Jesus, but the tithe is us opening up our lives so he can get access into our lives freely so that he can have legal right to do it. It all works through Jesus, because that's a lot of, we can talk about this next week. You know, like there's a lot of questions. You know, some people say, should we even talk about the tithe? It's all Old Testament. You gave us a whole lot of Old Testament scriptures. Is it even valid? Well, we'll talk about that next week. If I can only solve one problem at a time. First one is, what is the tenth? Why a tenth? Why the number 10? Next week, we'll talk about, but does this even apply? Why are we talking about it when it's so old covenant? You know, I was looking up a particular reference website, and they were talking. They have two articles on this. One says why the tithe is for today and biblical. The other one says seven reasons we don't need to tithe from the Bible. There's someone sitting on the fence saying, oh, we don't understand. So we would cover that next week. All right, but we needed to first of all set our foundations, why God set us a tenth, what is his purpose, how does he look at it? I want you to see that, and then we can look next week to see why he's using the tenth, how he's using the tenth to get the blessing into us. Is this the old covenant blessing? Is this new covenant? How does it all even work? We can explore that further next week.